The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Speak Up Table. You know it, it's Tuesday, and we are continuing our November election series just for you. We have already covered Pondere's local option 1% sales tax. We've talked to Sandpoint's mayor about the wastewater treatment facility bond that is a decision that is in the Sandpoint voter hands. And also last week, we were privileged to talk with two representatives for Northside Fire District Levy. If you missed any of these live programs, these broadcasts, you can play the recording at NorthIdahoRadio.com, so check it out. My name is Barbara, but more importantly, my guests are two Sandpoint City Councilmen that are seeking re-election. They are Joel Aspero and Rick Howarth. This is your chance to hear an extended conversation with these candidates covering a variety of issues and topics. Okay, we're going to take another brief first break right now, do a little business, and we'll be right back with what you need to know with Councilman Joel Aspero and Rick Howarth.
Albertson Barlow Insurance Services in Sandpoint is your trusted, independent, locally owned and operated full-service insurance company. Scott and Ty understand that insurance these days can get confusing. They're here to assist you through the process and explain your options clearly, providing you and your family the right coverage for every need. Life, health, property, auto, and more. Contact Albertson Barlow Insurance in the old Powerhouse building, online at Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
There's always a fiesta at Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint. Margarita specials on Monday. Tuesdays are Taco Tuesdays with $3 tacos, $5 Mexican drafts, and specials on Hornitas margaritas. Don't forget every Sunday is Magic Sunday with Star Alexander. Jalapeno's is open for lunch and dinner Friday through Tuesday and closed on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Remember Jalapeno's when you need catering. Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant in Sandpoint since 1992.
Accidents happen, and when they do, more people reach out to Northwest Auto Body. Consistently voted the best auto body shop in the region, we offer guaranteed repairs by certified technicians using only state-of-the-art equipment. Our locally owned collision facilities have been serving North Idaho for nearly 50 years. Find us online or just stop on by. No appointments needed, no charge estimates, and advice is just good customer service. Remember, Northwest Auto Body in Sandpoint, Pondere, and now in Bonner's Ferry.
For nearly 100 years, Adams Tractor has helped Idaho get the job done, one to-do list at a time. As your local Kubota dealer in Lewiston and Spokane, we're proud partners of Vandal Athletics. Whether you're digging, mowing, or plowing the snow, Kubota equipment delivers the muscle, and Adams backs it with hometown service you can trust. Visit AdamsTractor.com today. Adams Tractor, nearly a century strong, powered by Kubota, proud to back the Vandals.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
News Talk 97.1.
Uh, All right, everyone, welcome back in. Join me, say hello to Joel Icepero and Rick Howarth. Rick's here in the studio with me. Joel is on the phone. Joel, appreciate that so much. You're taking time to call in. Both are current Sandpoint councilmen, and they are seeking re-election. So let's just jump right in. You know, believe it or not, Joel, not everyone knows you, or they don't know your background. So introduce yourself a little bit to our audience.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me. And I do apologize. I'm at Seattle Children's Hospital for my son's biannual visit. So there may be, I might have to jet, 8 minutes from now, maybe 10, I don't know. So I just want to be clear on that. And again, thank you for having me. My name is Joel Spiro, and I am seeking re-election. I was born in San Diego, California. My parents are from Mexico. They became citizens. We moved to Sandpoint, Idaho when I was 8 years old, where my family started Joel's Mexican Restaurant, which is where I'm currently at. It's a family business with my family. And yeah, I went to high school here, went to grade school here, played sports here, coach here. I'm married to a wonderful wife who supports me very much, and 4 kids. And they all are growing up here, playing sports here as well, and been part of our family business since out of high school. I decided to stay. And it's been my home, and it's been our home. And in my early 20s, I decided to do some research and figure out why America was so free. Why did we have these privileges that other countries did not have? And that led to me to realize that, well, it's because our forefathers sacrificed for us to have these freedoms. So I felt that it was only proper to use whatever giftings I thought I had to do the same in my sphere of influence, and that's here in Sandpoint, Idaho. So that's when I got involved in politics, not really thinking I would run for anything, but more just to be more involved in what was going on. And I said, hey, why not city council? Let's try that. And that's kind of where it got me and where I'm at currently.
Hey, Joel, I love it that you mentioned how much you love not only America, but our founding fathers. If you've listened or had a chance to listen to my recent program since like last June, I have been all over America 250, quoting our founding fathers, doing interviews with our state treasurer, who's in charge of the Idaho 250 or the America 250 in Idaho. Anyway, God bless you for that. We love America on this program.
Awesome. Amen. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Rick Howarth. I'm not sure. Probably a lot of people are wondering who you are. So introduce yourself also.
Yeah. Barb, thank you so much. And to your audience, thank you for giving me the opportunity to introduce you to myself. My name is Rick Howarth. I was actually born in Great Falls, Montana. But at a young age, my family moved to Idaho. I actually graduated from Grangeville High School. I played all sports. I was up in Sandpoint a lot playing baseball, basketball, and football. After high school, I pursued an engineering degree at the University of Idaho. I graduated with my master's degree in engineering. But more importantly, during my time at the University of Idaho, I met a beautiful young lady that I ultimately married here in Sandpoint. She grew up here in Sandpoint. So in 1982, we were married in the Lutheran Church. I had a job with Texas Instruments in Texas. We immediately left the beautiful Northwest for Texas, where we spent almost 16 years. Left Texas Instruments and joined a company called Intel. So hopefully everybody knows when you got your computer Intel inside. We make the brains of modern-day computers and a lot of the hardware that you see today. But Intel then sent me all over the world to work. My wife and I spent 16 years in China and in Vietnam setting up new Intel manufacturing facilities. Along that journey, we adopted twin Chinese girls. They were 1 year old when we picked them up. They're now 19. They're back in Indiana at Ball State University, enjoying the college life. I was able to physically move to Sandpoint full-time in 2018. I retired in 2020, and after retirement, really looked at ways to continue to serve the local community. And I did that initially through different boards. I was on the Kinderhaven board. I sat on the Lighthouse board for 5 years. In fact, was the chairman for 2.5 years of the Lighthouse board. And now sit on the Valor High School board as well. And a year and a half ago, I was given the opportunity to sit on city council, and I have done that for the last year and a half.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you to both of you. Joel, I'm going to bring it back to you. And what are your thoughts? What is your position on the wastewater treatment facility bond? What would you like our audience to understand?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Last night, if you guys have an opportunity at the candidate forum, the mayor gave a presentation. So I would definitely recommend everybody to go listen to that and hear what the mayor had to say. I thought he explained it very well. And the reality is that we have, or let me keep it simple for the audience, is we need a new plant and we need money. And we're going to pay for it one way or another. There's other options we can go, but really, the city has been working hard and will continue to work hard to raise the funds and get grants and government help to get this to fund it. This bond would be very, very positive for us to vote yes for. Like I said, you're going to pay for it one way or another. That's just the reality of it. We need this, and I believe that if you trust us as a city council, as staff especially, is working hard to get these grants from the mayor, that this is a priority that the mayor campaigned on, and I believe he's really trying to provide that necessity and that need.
Well, Rick,
and I do apologize. I only have a couple of minutes. The doctor just came in. So,
okay.
I do appreciate the time, but go ahead, Rick. I'll let you know when I have to get off.
All right. You can just let us know if you need to leave. Rick, bringing the same question to you. Joel, thank you if I don't get a chance to say that again.
Yeah, no problem.
Rick, the same thing on the wastewater treatment facility. Joel referred to, you know, we're going to pay for this. Can you compare? There's an advantage to the bond passing that has to do with additional money being positioned. Explain that to our audience, please.
Yeah. So the bond that's going to be in front of the citizens on November 4th is for $130 million. That is a maximum cap that would authorize the city to go spend up to $130 million. The tricky part is, and it's kind of a chicken and an egg situation, is that the city cannot wholeheartedly go out and seek other sources of funding, whether it's the federal government or the state, until we get that bond passed. And so it's imperative that we pass the bond. That frees up the city to go look for those other revenue sources and hopefully then keep the amount that the citizens have to pay far below that $130 million cap that the authorization would be for.
And another, what I'm going to call, in my eyes, an advantage is that the bond financing, if you will, whatever it is up to, is covered, or it is spread out over 40 years. But the other financing, there is no other financing that works that way. Explain that, please.
Yeah, that's the unique part of the bond, right? A 40-year lifetime. I'll also say the other part of that is, as we start to then overhaul the existing plant, because it has to run while we're doing the renovations, that we would tap into that $130 million, not all in one
right.
Big lump sum. We would do it over time.
Kind of like a construction loan. You take it as you need it.
Exactly. Exactly the same thought. So other sources, I mean, we hope that there are sources of other loans, but we don't know what those terms might be. They might be 10 years before we have to pay them back. We'll see what they are. Ideally, you would get loans that may be forgiven, or we could get federal grants where we don't have to repay as well. But it's kind of this chicken and egg, and we really need to move forward. And I will just say, I mean, we all live here in Sandpoint because we love the environment. And unfortunately, our existing plant has had a number of incursions where we've had to put sewage into the river. Nobody likes that. And so we need to really upgrade our system.
Yeah. Joel, are you still with us?
Yeah, I do. I do have to go, but can I just say something real quick?
Absolutely.
I just want to say, Rick, great explanation. That was awesome. That's why I love sitting next to you, brother. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I am seeking your vote November 4th for Joel Cirillo for re-election. My experience, my ability to work with others, has proven itself over the 8 years, and I humbly ask for your vote. And I normally don't do this, but I'm also endorsing Rick Howarth. He's been a great partner. I didn't know him before this, but he's proven to be a great leader as well. And I really think you guys should consider voting for him as well. Thank you so much for your time, everybody. Thank you for everything. I'm sorry for this. I do have to go. It's my son's doctor's appointment. So
Joel,
thank you so much.
We appreciate it. God bless you and your son.
God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right. Well, here we are, Rick. It's me and you. I have another question about the advantage to the bond, passing the bond because of additional funding it's more attractive than for the feds or the state to get in on this. What about private funding? I mean, there would be some private sources that may not charge interest. They just want to gift money to help preserve the environment.
Yeah, and again, once that bond passes, then we have the opportunity to go look at all sources of potential revenue. And last night at the candidate forum as well, I mean, there are also companies that will come in, build, operate, and own the wastewater treatment plant as well.
Oh.
Now, they're for profit. Mm-hmm. So while they do all of that investment, they're going to recoup it through, obviously, the sewer rates as well. And so those would still have to go up. But there are a lot of different options that the city's looking at. And I think that the other thing I just share is the mayor and the city team is also looking at trying to get a waiver on how much water we treat, especially in the spring when we have rain on snow events. This is a plant that typically manages about 1 million, 1.5 million gallons of waste a day. But in those rain on snow events, we get 11, 12 million gallons. You have to treat all 12 million today, according to the code. Even though that water is not really polluted, mm-hmm. If we can get a waiver where we can just do some simple treatment to that and then let it pass, we could significantly downsize the size of the facility that we needed to go build, significantly reducing that $130 million cap that we're asking for.
If that's the safe and prudent thing to do, I'd be all for that. Listen, I want to protect our river, our lake, the water tables. I don't want any sewage going anywhere. But more than anything, I want clean water coming into my house. I want my toilets to flush. Yeah. I want to be able to wash my car. I want good, clean, good water here in the city of Sandpoint. And all of our visitors that are here and our tourists,
yes,
they want it too. I know they do.
They do. And if you think about something that could curtail growth of this area, I mean, if we didn't have wastewater treatment, mm-hmm. The economy in Sandpoint would be in a desperately different situation.
Very much so. And the other thing, I'll just say this, is that everything that we've talked about doesn't really, it's the $130 million is just a number. It's the actual issue. It's the actual service. It's what we're going to get for that money.
Yeah.
And hopefully the additional money that will help us. All right. Believe it or not, we're up against another break. We are going to take that break so we stay on schedule and Tag doesn't get upset with me for never. Anyway, we're going to take that break right now.
Hey, Don Thomas here for Selkirk Glass and Cabinets. And you know, someone asked me the other day, is this really the place to go for my new cabinets? Boy, what an easy answer. And let me tell you why. The folks at Selkirk Glass and Cabinets has kept every type of customer in mind when they set up all their different cabinet lines. For instance, there's the KCD line, which is an entry-level, quick-ship product with a select number of finishes and options. Another brand you can count on? Showplace Cabinets. They offer the largest paint selection, including custom colors and a reliable lead time. There's also Aristocraft, a cabinet line you can trust from your first house to your forever home. And for several years now, Selkirk Glass and Cabinets has been proud to carry Homecrest cabinets with their flexible solutions and personalized touch. Finally, if you're dreaming of indulgent opulence exclusively designed for you, there is Omega, where the possibilities are endless. So feel free to come in and browse our beautiful showroom or call ahead for an appointment. Selkirk Glass and Cabinets, it is the place to go.
On November 4th, as a resident and voter of Sandpoint, you'll have an important decision to make. One that will impact the rivers, the lake, and the legacy of our city. On the ballot is the wastewater treatment plant bond. This project must be built to comply with state and federal law, but your vote will help determine how we move forward as a community. Here's Sandpoint's Director of Public Works, Holly Ellis.
But we're coming on 80 years of having this infrastructure in the ground. Our risk in having a sewage overflow outright into our river, Pendere River, and the waters of Pendere. It's increasing every day that we don't make an improvement and upgrade to that infrastructure.
Whether you vote yes or no, the most important thing is to be informed and make your voice heard. Here's Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm.
It's at a point now where it's completely at the end of its useful life. We've got a big decision to make, which is how do we want to fund those repairs? Are we going to fund it through a bond? Or are we going to fund it through rates in a much shorter period of time?
Learn more, understand the facts, and vote November 4th.
Game day isn't complete without repping your team. Whether you're in the stands, at home, or tailgating with friends, NFLShop.com has the gear every fan needs. Jerseys, hats, hoodies, and sideline styles straight from the pros to you. Fresh arrivals drop all season long, so you'll always stay game day ready. Fan like a pro and shop now at NFLShop.com.
Here's a tale of Becky. Didn't know what to do with new meds prescribed and no real cost clue.
She squinted at prices. That can't be right. Then tapped GoodRx and saw the light.
She could get a deal. Book telehealth if she feel.
Learn about those meds without any stress. That one little app does all the rest. Even my horse downloaded it. Dang, save time and money on prescriptions.
Check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance.
News Talk 97.1. You know, as always, we've got it going on in the studio for you. Today, we are talking to the two incumbents from Sandpoint City Council that are running for re-election. Joel Icefaro was on. He is in Seattle taking care of some family business, and he had to get off the phone early, but we do thank him and appreciate him taking time during this what he's doing there. Appreciate that. And here in the studio is Rick Howarth. I've been calling you Howarth. I've been having trouble with last names today. Anyway, Howarth, Rick Howarth. He's on your ballot November the 4th to be reelected to Sandpoint City Council. So, Rick, thank you for being here with us.
My pleasure.
All right. So one of the things, this is a small issue, but it concerned me a little bit, and that was about making an exception or some exceptions for the open containers law at City Beach, or was it at all city-owned properties? And it just occurred to me that if you're going to give one group the opportunity to have alcohol, then I think everybody ought to get it. What's going on with that? What do you think?
Yeah, no, great question. This is very fresh because it was talked about at our last council meeting. The final decisions was not based on any one particular group. Obviously, if we open it up, we have to open it up to anybody that's eligible. I have been a staunch supporter of the parks for our families and for our young citizens to go use. I didn't want them to be interacting with adult activities like celebrations and alcohol. Through the whole process, the community, we got a lot of feedback from the community, which I love. I mean, that's the beauty of the democracy that we live in, that started to go share that some of the events that happen in town provide incredible value to the citizens and to the community in general. And so once I started to hear about that, I said, gosh, is there a compromise where we have very, very limited events in the City Beach Park, as well as the other city-owned facilities. And after much discussion and debate, I shifted my attitude just a bit, and I said, if we can control it, and it's very, very limited, then I'm okay with a few events because we're still preserving the nature of the parks, which is, again, family activities. And so the recent vote, I did vote for a limited number. There is an action item for the staff to go back and take the input of that meeting, come back with the actual ordinance. So we have not actually voted yet on the final ordinance to see how we curtail and limit those. And at the same time, as you said, we have to be, if we do it, we have to open it up to all of the parties that might want to participate. And so putting those guardrails in is really the next step in figuring out how we go do that.
I also understand that the city attorney had not yet made an opinion, if you even had the authority to, I didn't quite understand what it was, and I'm not sure it's important, but it seemed like the city attorney still had something to say on this.
Nothing off the top of my mind. It recalled from the last meeting. I think they were probably more weighing in on the ways to go, kind of put the guardrails on it, legally put the guardrails on.
How you could legally limit.
Yep. And so I think that'll probably come more to the forefront when that ordinance actually comes back for approval by city council.
All right. The other, I was going to ask Joel this question, but I will let you comment on it. You know, several of city council members walked out a week, 2 weeks ago, and I was very concerned about it. I didn't like it. You did not walk out. So explain to me and explain to our audience what your opinion is, how that should have been handled.
Yeah. Obviously, with six council members, we have six unique individuals, six unique perspectives on anything that comes to the city council. You saw a little bit of that on public display. There is a right way to do it and a wrong way to go do it. And my personal opinion is we did it kind of the wrong way, not belittling any of the council members. They have the right to walk out if they want. The right way to handle that situation would have been to make a formal motion saying, hey, we'd like to adjourn the meeting early, and then the council members one by one would have the opportunity to vote yes or no for adjourning that meeting. The way it happened, it looked quite chaotic, and to the public, I'm sure they were a bit frustrated because there was business to do that night at the city council, and they just kind of were sitting in the chambers and wondering what happened. But there is a right way to go do that. And again, not condemning any of the other counselors, they all have the right to walk out, but there could have been a more professional way to manage that situation.
Yeah, or just don't walk out. I mean, I can't. Anyway, I get to give my opinion straight up. You know, I don't know how many, but there have been a few people who have said, Rick Howarth is a developer, and all he's interested in is developing. And they're coming from a point of view, there are no good developers. They only want to make money, and they don't really care about the community. They just jump in and jump out. So comment on that, about you being a developer and how you're involved and where your heart is in that.
Yeah, so I am working to develop a piece of property that my wife's family has owned for over 50 years. I am not a developer. I love the community that I live in. I want to protect its natural beauty. But as I was telling Barb, my wife passed away 4 years ago. My in-laws are elderly, 86 and 88 years old. My two daughters, as they have moved on to college, they have aspirations to be all parts of the world and not Sandpoint. So we have 33 acres on Baldy Road just beside the Frisbee Park that as a family we said, well, what do we want to go do with it? The children that are the next generation have no interest in doing anything with it. And so according to the county code, we could develop that in 1 acre lots. And so we're trying to turn that 33 acres into a beautiful transition between the city and the county. And that's really what that piece of property is all about. But I am certainly not a developer.
All right. Yes, I am glad that you clarified that because, as I'm sure you're aware, that because the word development is there, that somehow you're a developer. And you've lived in Sandpoint. When did you, I mean, you traveled all over, but you were married here in 82, I think you said.
Yes.
And so in a way, this has been your home.
Oh, yeah.
Through the years with your wife's family.
Yes.
and all of that.
Yeah, and we've owned property all over the area since the early, mid-80s. And yeah, absolutely called it home. Even when we were over in Asia every summer and every summer my wife and daughters would come back and spend 3-4 months here.
Yeah.
When I had my opportunity on vacations, I was always back in Sandpoint as well.
Sandpoint, it's hard to leave Sandpoint once you fall in love with it. It's like a real committed relationship for real. All right, we've got time before our next break, and I want to ask you, you served for a year and a half. You were appointed to a position to refill a position that opened up. So this is actually your first election. You're not being re-elected, essentially, as I said. So in the last year and a half, share with our audience one or two things that you personally have sponsored or that you've really been behind that you're very proud of.
Yeah, a couple of things. One is I'm fiscally very conservative. And so as you know, I've gotten to participate now in 2 budget cycles for the city. I'm very focused on figuring out how do we continue to shrink the amount of money that the government needs, the city of Sandpoint, to support the duties and responsibilities of the citizens. So this past budget cycle, I was able to get a little bit of money to go look at how do we go run the city more efficiently. And what I mean by that is there are any business, and I look at the city as a business, has a primary responsibility and things they should be really good at. In fact, I was speaking with the mayor about this today. You know, we need to go provide police service, fire service, and other sorts of services. But there are other things that the city provides that aren't really that critical that the city do those. And I'll just take as an example, park maintenance. Does the city need to be the ones that are maintaining it? Or do we just contract with firms here in the local area that probably do it better and more efficiently than we do? And so it's just looking at where are those essential services that maybe we have opportunities to go outsource, still maintain beautiful parks. We know that the citizens want to have beautiful parks, but we can do it more efficiently. The other thing I think is just being very open and transparent with the community. I'm not beholden to any faction. When issues come to the city council, I try and look at the issues and the merits of all sides of it, whether it's environmental, whether it's taxes, cost to the citizens, trying to go look at it. And that's probably a little bit of my engineering nature is just to go look at issues and challenges and how best to solve those issues. And so really looking at all sides of it. And so if you've seen any of my votes, I ask lots of hard questions, trying to go understand, okay, what's the real issues that we're trying to go address? And then I'm always open to meeting with the citizens of Sandpoint to hear their opinions and inputs. And as I shared with you on the City Beach issue, I can be persuaded with good facts and good information that help me make better citizen decisions for the citizens.
You know, when you're talking about being fiscally conservative, before you said it, I wrote the word outsourcing. Mm. And because to a certain extent, you can pass on labor and healthcare and the ins and the seasonal aspects.
Yep.
Of that on to a private company, and,
yep.
and they have more flexibility typically
yep.
than the government does. And so for something like parks and rec maintenance, which is essentially yard maintenance,
mm-hmm.
pruning and that, and I'm sure there's sprinklers and other kinds of maintenance, but yeah, I think
yeah.
that would make a lot of sense and would say, because that was my question, when you ask yourself at a city council meeting about how to save money for the government, really the issue is how is this going to help the taxpayer?
Yeah.
You know, what is it going to do for the people I'm
yeah.
serving?
Yeah.
Not necessarily, you know, some office or some department.
Yeah. So if we can shrink the budget of the city and still maintain all of the service and do it just more efficiently, then ultimately we should see that in property taxes coming down for the citizens of Sandpoint.
All right. Well, we're up against our last break. We're going to take that. You know, I was asking Councilman Howorth what he, looking back at what he's done that he's very proud of. My next question for him to think about on the commercial is looking forward. What does he want to sponsor specifically and particularly in the upcoming years if he's reelected?
Right now at Les Schwab Tires, it's the Fall Tire Fest. Save up to $120 instantly on select sets of four all-terrain tires. Get dependable all-weather traction for your everyday commute and your off-road adventures. And every tire comes with America's best tire warranty. 60-day satisfaction guarantee, no hassle road hazard protection, and free maintenance for the life of your tires. Just another way you'll get more from less. Stop by a store or shop online at leschwab.com. Limited time offer while supplies last. See leschwab.com/sale for details.
Interest rates are high, the market's unpredictable, and home sales are slowing way down. But here's the thing, we're still buying, and not just one or two. We've bought over 500 homes from folks right here in Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. This is Chad Young with the EasyHomeBuyer.com. We've helped people during divorce, inherited properties, foreclosures, you name it. Through it all, one thing hasn't changed. We keep our promises. We're local, we're experienced, and we're not going anywhere. In fact, we just rolled out our highest offer guarantee, a program that allows us to actually overpay for the right homes. It's not a gimmick. It's how we compete and how we win for our sellers. There's no pressure, no fees, and you close when you're ready. No repairs, no cleanup, and no open houses. Just one quick conversation that could completely change your situation. Call me today at 208-877-6000. That's 208-877-6000.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for lunch or dinner.
Mondays are local appreciation all day from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. 15% off your bill with an Idaho driver's license. No exclusions, even on fillets and crab legs. Proudly serving Idaho-raised and processed USDA choice beef and everything fried in Snake River Farms beef tallow.
Come on back to the Hydra for lunch or dinner today. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
The thick and thin beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop. There's something special and satisfying about building your home using local wood. Its beauty and strength are hard to beat. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out the website, tntbeams.com.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
News Talk 97.1, KSBT KBFI.
All right, everybody, we still have it going on for you. We are talking right now with Rick Howorth. He is on your ballot November the 4th to be elected to Sandpoint City Council. The other current incumbent on the Sandpoint City Council, Joel Iceworth. No, Icepro. I am just messing his name up. Anyway, Joel, everybody knows Joel from Joel's restaurant. Anyway, he was on the phone with us from Seattle, but had to break away. So I do appreciate the time that he was able to spend with us. All right, Rick. My question is, looking forward, if you're reelected, what are a couple of the ideas or programs or changes that you want to make in particular that you want to sponsor on our behalf?
Yeah, great, great question, and a very pertinent question for anybody that's seeking re-election or election to the council. We've talked a lot about the wastewater treatment plant. As we were surveying the citizens of Sandpoint about this whole topic of the bond and funding this, one of the issues that popped up was there was a large portion of our population that says we do not trust the local government to handle matters like the wastewater treatment plant. So one of the things, if I'm reelected, is to continue to work on rebuilding that trust with the citizens of Sandpoint. And using the wastewater treatment plant as an example, the way you go build trust is to be open and transparent. So if we're given the opportunity to go refurbish or rebuild the wastewater treatment plant, the way you build that trust is be very open with, okay, here's the schedule, here's what the cost is going to be. As we're working our way through that, and this is going to be a multi-year construction project, regular updates to the community on how are we doing against the schedule, what are the issues that we're finding, what are the cost implications of those, so that everybody...
How much money have we spent? Where are we?
Yep, and so being very open and honest with everybody as we journey through that, because it is going to be complex. You know, that plant's been there 70-plus years. There's probably a lot of underground piping that we don't know exactly know what's under there. So once we start to dig, we're going to find there'll be unknowns. And that's part of why that $130 million bond today has a 40% contingency on it. That is money that is set aside for events that we don't know about today. So that'd be one, is really trying to rebuild the trust with our citizens. And the other part is just personally then, you know, I really ask that the citizens contact all of the council members, come to our meetings, be engaged in the local community. Your voices matter. I've provided everybody with my phone number, my email addresses. Reach out, talk to me. I want to hear your opinions, your thoughts. I think it's great when I have the opportunity to meet with the citizens face to face. Sometimes they have maybe a particular position, but once they may understand maybe the restrictions or the guardrails that the city has, we can find then maybe a compromise that works. And so I really like sitting down one-on-one or with a small group and having conversations as well.
Yeah, it's very effective because people can have opinions without all the facts.
Yes.
And it's not anything against them. I have been in that position myself. But once you then hear all the facts, then you really can feel your position. You may loosen up a little bit, or you can at least see things differently. One of the things, this is more of a philosophical question, but in talking to like our fire districts and a couple of other entities like Rotary, or not so much Rotary, Lions Club, everybody seems to be looking for volunteers. There are not a lot of people who go to school district meetings or city council meetings. It's a small group, kind of the faithful few.
Yes.
And I think that's related somehow to volunteers. Everybody's scrambling for volunteers. What do you think we can do to turn that around?
Well, I think a couple of things. And I give credit to Mayor Grimm. He reinstituted the citizen community committees. Those, as you say, all are looking for volunteers. So far, I think we've been able to get the right people onto those. We've seemed to have enough volunteers. But I think it's going to take, again, more maybe proactive action from the city and the council. And just as one example, having more regular meetings with the business owners in town. So we could have maybe a monthly forum with the business owners. And talking about the issues and challenges of the city. And so as we start to engage more with the community, maybe then they'll start to engage more with the city and the needs of the city. I know a lot of people are very busy. I know many of the citizens are working multiple jobs and don't have the opportunity to do that. But as I've retired here now in Sandpoint, I do have more time. That's why I'm running for re-election, so that I can give back to the community. And I would just encourage people to, even if it's an hour a week that you could go provide time, find whatever your cause is, step up to the plate and come and and be part of the solution as well.
You know, I'm wondering if a part of the solution, Rick, might be to change the venues and the timing, in that it doesn't have to be all of the council. I mean, it doesn't have to be a formal meeting. It could be one person going to the senior center, one go to churches and talk. Have a couple of, you know, make an open air at City Beach under the pagoda thing. And you'd be surprised who you'll catch. And to keep it small, if it needs to stay small for a while, but to just go find people wherever they are.
And I great comments. And I would take that one further, is also then go into our schools and start to educate our young people about civic responsibility as well.
Do that. I mean, how many of our schools, you know, by law, our schools have to, you know, teach on Constitution Day. I always wonder, you know, what did our schools actually do for Constitution Day? They need to do a lot. I think they need to do a lot more. All right. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to say goodbye to the audience and to talk with them for just a minute. You've got a little bit less than a minute.
Well, Barb, thank you very, very much. And to everybody that's listening, thank you for the opportunity to learn more about myself. Again, my name is Rick Howarth. I am running first time for election to the city council, even though I've been sitting there for a year and a half. Your vote on November 4th would be greatly, greatly appreciated. I am a person that listens to the voices of the citizens, and my job is to represent you if elected. On all of the matters that come in front of the city. I, like you, love this area, love Sandpoint, and am dedicated to making it the best city that it can be.
All right. Excellent last word. Rick Howarth, one of the candidates for Sandpoint City Council, he will be on Sandpoint's ballot. You know, not all the ballots are the same. How old were you when you learned that here in Sandpoint? Everybody, you know, Hope and Clarkport, we've all got a few different ballots. All right. That's our program for today. Thank you, Rick. Joel, thank you so much. Councilman seeking re-election. Next week, we continue our in-depth, unrehearsed interviews covering the November ballot. Next up next week, you don't want to miss it. We're talking with two more Sandpoint City Council. They are newcomers seeking election. Join me as we meet and get to know Joe Tate and Joshua Torres. You know it, every week I'm all about America 250, celebrating the incredible foundation of our country, so unique, so successful, so strong, and I love quotes from our founding leaders. They were wise, and a very great majority depended on the wisdom of God and the Bible. Last week, I quoted James Madison, and as you may remember, was the primary writer of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, and he served two terms as president. And this is what James, another quote from James Madison. He said, "The future and success of America is not from this Constitution, but the laws of God upon which the Constitution is founded." All right, everybody, and next Tuesday, I'll be right here. I hope you will too. I'm reminding us all to slow down on the roads, to love each other, and God bless America.